Welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, October 1st, 2019. I'd like to welcome you to the City of Palm Coast City Council meeting. Can you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vice Mayor Clufus.
Present.
Councilmember Branquino.
Here.
Councilmember Cuff.
Here.
Councilmember Howell.
Here.
Mayor Holland is absent.
Excellent. Thank you. Now we will open up our meeting to the first portion of public participation. If anyone would like to address the council, all you have to do is approach the podium, state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will start once you stated your name.
Students in our Flagler County classroom are known to be hungry, but what about the ones we don't know about? You, as the council, want to have a golf course open that no one uses that will cost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
But children are hungry in our own backyards. And another fact that might help you with your golf game, as of count, 22 of our students are currently battling life-threatening cancer or other illnesses in our own backyards, and some might even be your neighbor. But most of you wouldn't know those numbers because you're all too busy playing golf and enjoying a warm meal after. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
What a tough act that is to follow. Robert McDonald, Palm Coast. About a month ago, I was here at a meeting, and I brought up some issues to the mayor. And no disrespect to the sitting council or to the city administrator, Mr. Morton, but I thought the days of Jim Landon ruling the city were gone. When I came to that workshop meeting, I raised a question to the mayor about how could she justify spending nearly $1.5 million on city tax dollars on a golf course when our police are desperately asking for more help. The mayor failed to answer my question, just like Landon did when the questions got uncomfortable. So I approached the mayor after that meeting, and I asked her why she didn't answer my question. Her response was, much to my surprise, her response was, "I don't have to." You don't have to. Okay. Well, Mayor Holland, she must feel that she has the right to pick and choose the questions that she wants to answer. No, that doesn't happen here. I don't believe that's one privilege of whoever the sitting mayor is, that they can pick and choose the questions that they want to answer, depending upon how sensitive they are. I think it's bad enough that in the 4 years that I've lived in the city of Palm Coast, if you have a direct question to a particular council person, you can't answer that question. You can't ask that council person a question. The mayor has to field all of the questions. The days of Landon running the city, I thought, were long over. Election day is coming. And if this is the way that the city is going to do business, that they can pick and choose the questions they want to answer, then maybe it's time the residents take back the city, one by one by one. And then maybe the residents of the city will have a voice on how we spend our dollars, not how the mayor wants to spend our dollars.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Pat Stasio, Palm Coast. I was here a few months ago regarding if we can enforce the restrictions in Palm Coast more so. So after that, I met with Ms. Barbara and two managers. And supposedly, the real estates are not allowed to hand out this little booklet for the restrictions. So they said they couldn't do anything about it to come to one of these meetings. You know, for the past 8 months, I've been riding around this entire city looking for a house for someone, and that's when I started to see how trashed Palm Coast is getting. And I mentioned the last time, it's especially the duplexes. You have the people coming here, buying up our land. Some of them are in the cheap sections. They're throwing up the duplexes, and once they're rented, they're not taken care of. And it's also the single-family homes that are rented out. They were atrocious, and I brought this all up. If the property managers are getting paid to take care of those properties, they're not even doing the job for the owner of the house. But if you ride around Palm Coast, my area is nice. Like I said, I've been here 20 years, but like I said, looking for a house for someone, I saw in every section how bad it's getting here. So I found out there's one code enforcer for every section, which to me is insane, and they go out 2 days a month. There's no way they can see their entire section 2 days a month. So then I said, what do they do the other days? And she said, that's when they go on the complaints that were called in. But there's a lot of spineless people that will not call in about the boat in the yard next door or the garbage pails and recycling bins lined up in front of the garage because they're afraid, you know, they'll be ratted out, but they don't give the name. So this goes on and on that it's getting worse. And now all the building going on, more houses, Seagate throws up houses everywhere you go. And the more people, the worse it's going to get. So I was wondering if you could make it a requirement that the real estates give this to every renter and buyer that comes to Palm Coast. I deal with people that move here all the time, and I ask them, do you know the restrictions? And they say no. So I was wondering if you can get it to be a requirement that the real estates have to give this out. That's it.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Terry Webb, Palm Coast.
Hey, Terry.
I saw on the news the other day, and it was kind of discouraging me to find out that there's a dwelling here in this town that they've been citing for over 2 years, and over $1 million is owed to the city. For that house to be sitting like that for 2 years, telling me that somebody is asleep at the steering wheel. And that's not the only house. Anybody want to ride around with me, I'll show you some more houses that have been abandoned. Citations have been posted on the garage doors. It's been abandoned so long that the roofs have turned green. The pools are stagnant, turned green. The people next door. And this house here that I'm speaking of is probably a $400,000 house. It was left to the two daughters, okay, to take care of. And they're fighting between the two of them. And what's being done about it? Nothing. Okay, I'd just like for someone to just step up and grab it by the reins and let's get this city straight again, okay? Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker. Hey, Celia.
My name is Celia Buglisi. I live in Palm Coast. First of all, I want to address something that was addressed before, and it's that our golf course, it is almost breaking even. People pay for our golf course. This city was founded by ITT Levitz on the base of our many sports, tennis and golf course and boating. So we need to keep those amenities to preserve the quality of life of our city. When it comes about students, I'm all for them being helped, those students that cannot afford the food, but that's for the Flagler County Board of Education and the state to address, not to the city. The city has a different business to address. That has to be addressed by the Board of Education. We need to preserve our like they are doing, a mayor and city council, are amenities here, as sport amenities, which, you know, and, promote the health of the citizens and promote the quality of life of where we bought here. We bought here for golf courses, boating, for tennis, and a good life. And I applaud the city to preserve that. I am an all for a golf course of Palm Harbor golf course to keep open, and because we have hundreds of houses that depend on the life of the golf course to keep the value in the heart of the city of Palm Coast. So I applaud the city to support that. And we are not putting so many taxes on that. We put more taxes on education. We put more taxes on the Flagler County taxes. Look, we are paying in our ad valorem taxes, if everybody see their bills that they receive, double to the county to what we pay the city. So you know the $600,000 that Mr. Stalley, our sheriff, rightfully asked for to have more traffic deputies in our city of Palm Coast should be paid by the county because we are overpaying them. When they don't give us but maybe 30% of our services, the city is giving us 80, 70% of our services, and we're paying this county double our ad valorem taxes. They need to come up with the $600,000 that Mr. Stalley requests rightfully for what we need in Palm Coast. We have in Palm Coast over 900 residents per square mile. When the county only has 189 per square mile, we need those monies from the county to go and fund our sheriff services that we need here, because we are the big gorilla in this county. This county would not exist if it wouldn't be for the city of Palm Coast taxpayers. Let's be truth about it. So let's see the reality and let's go to the proper, you know, entities to claim what we need. And I appreciate that. Now, one thing, please, the city of Palm Coast, I talked to Carol a few days ago, those slanted signs need to be straightened up. There is an area of public works that needs to be trimmed, and I will be more than glad to let everybody know what I talk about her.
Thank you, Celia.
Thank you.
Next speaker. Oh, it's a race.
Good evening, everybody. Tom Olsner, Palm Coast. At last week's city council meeting, somebody stood up in the middle of the meeting, as you're all aware, and started campaigning. Totally inappropriate for that to happen in a facility like this. I'd like to know what actions the council is going to take so that this doesn't happen again, and if anybody does try and do this, that they get shut down immediately and get removed from the council chamber. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Steve Carr, Palm Coast. As I sit here and listen to these other people talk, it just reminded me, when we're in city council meetings, how many ordinances have there been passed that protect residences? I hear a lot of ordinances about development. I hear a lot of ordinances that protect the city. But what about residents? How about ordinance to protect residents against such things as excessive automobile fumes, traffic dust, traffic noise, just to name a few? We need some ordinance for residents, not just developers, not just the city. That's my comment.
Thank you. Next speaker. Okay, I will close public comment, and I will respond to those comments in chronological order, and I will try my best. First, Celia kind of stole my thunder about the golf course, but through actions that the city council has taken by removing Kemper Sports from the equation, the golf course is almost breaking even, and it is a tremendous asset to the city. But that you raise great points about the problems with students being hungry at school. It is a terrible issue, and it's not something that's easy to talk about, but it needs to be brought up. But again, that's handled through other channels, not necessarily the city handling it directly. I would also say that, you know, the children who are battling illnesses, I can only send my, you know, prayers and thoughts to every single one of them, because that's nothing that a parent nor a child should have to endure. As far as the police department, it is a very strategic, budget allocation process that happens every year. We go through the same type of situation where more or less everybody wants, more of the pie, and we have a bunch of public safety issues that we're also addressing as a council, including our public works department. That is also a public safety issue for our employees. And the bottom line at the end of the day is that we only have so much pie to go around to everybody, and I would love to supply, all the resources to everyone who contributes to our city. But at the end of the day, we made a conclusion as a council that we were satisfied with the negotiations that happened between the city of Palm Coast and the police department, and also that last year we had given an additional 5 deputies and cars. So we continue to support our public safety. It is a very real issue. Continuing on, the nuisance houses, the problem with, and I've incurred this as an elected official, is that government is intentionally slow moving. It takes a while. The nuisance abatement process can take years. We recently foreclosed is the incorrect term, but through abatement we have 2 properties have been completely resolved, and that's taken almost the entirety of my tenure here as a council member. If we could go out there and, wrangle these guys ourselves, things would be much different, but that's not necessarily the rules and laws that we all have to abide by. It is just a very timely process, and I do encourage the reporting. As soon as you see these issues, feel free to report them, and that's how we get this ball moving, because until something's actually officially reported and, in progress, it doesn't really catch much traction.
Vice Mayor, if I could also add on top of that, if you'd be kind enough to get with one of the folks in the back row. Ms. Grossman's not here this evening. She's in charge of code enforcement. Mr. Tyner, right there. If you could give him some, if you know addresses, we may be able to get you some information about the status of those. It's very possible some of those are in process at this time. There may be some nuisance abatement process that's working. There could be some liens that already exist. They could be in the middle of foreclosure. Some of those are homesteaded, and under Florida law, if it's homesteaded, then the city is not able to foreclose the code enforcement liens. Some of them may be in mortgage foreclosure, in which case those liens can be wiped out by a mortgage foreclosure. I know that I've got several in my office right now that I'm working with the owners of the mortgages that are in the middle of mortgage foreclosure. So there's a lot of different steps and different pros and cons that a local government like a city has to deal with when they're trying to enforce their codes. But if you would be kind enough just to get with Mr. Tyner and give us those addresses, we can get back with you to let you know if they could be very, very well in process somewhere.
Thank you very much, Mr. Reichman. As far as the mandatory handing out of the paperwork, I don't think that's going to be a real possibility. The logistics behind that and the actual coordination between all the realtors. I encourage everyone to ensure that we can educate everyone as much as possible, but the reason that Palm Coast is the way it is because exactly that pamphlet that you're holding is the rules and regulations and ordinances that we abide by. As far as the outburst about campaigning, I was chairing that meeting at the time, and I made a decision that intervening and trying a hard shutdown maneuver would have only escalated the situation. Looking back, I think I could have made better decisions in trying to shut it down in a more efficient or time-sensitive manner. I would do that if I could go back in time, but in that moment, I didn't think that would be the right move. I thought that would have only escalated situations. So that's my explanation for my behavior. But I do agree it's inappropriate, and this isn't the venue for that. So I'm sorry that you had to be exposed to that, but that was the reason that I didn't shut it down more firmly. Let's see. I think that tackles all of them. Oh, the green initiatives. I completely concur that the health and public well-being of citizens is very much an afterthought occasionally, and we deal with infrastructure issues and actually brick-and-mortar type solutions where the things that you're speaking about are hard to actually catch a lot of momentum behind because they're not really visible and in our face. Somebody once told me that if carbon dioxide had a color to it, we would all be very much more concerned than we are today. But since these things are important to the individuals who understand the entire system and works, it's hard to divert funds and get those initiatives going. But I completely concur. The health and safety of the citizens is very much an important issue. Okay, that concludes public participation. And Councilmember Howell, yes.
With response to your concerns about the children going hungry, Okay, I'm kind of like the point man for the city on the homelessness situation, and I do interface with the members of the school board. And I will talk to the president of the school board, Janet McDonald and Colleen Conklin, because they're the ones that are going to be directly involved on this. Now, you raise a good point, because I flew over the city a couple of times here with a helicopter trying to spot where the encampments of our homeless people are. Of course, now it's fall and they're coming back from wherever, so I'm going to have to zero in and see where they're at, because I've worked very closely with the school system to get the numbers of kids that are homeless. And there in itself is another definition, and, you know, I'll be more than happy to explain that to you. But you're right on. And the other thing, let me ask you a question here with regards to the pamphlet. I like the I see where you're going with this. Can we look at putting that on our social media for new residents coming in? That would maybe be the better place if you can't hand them out. You know, kids, I don't know what the realtors are going to do, but if you put it on our social media and we say, you know, under a new residents page, these are your restrictions, I think that'll help.
I agree. Maybe a new resident resources type situation. I would concur. That's much more reasonable. Thank you,
okay,
Councilman.
Thank you.
Moving on, Section E are the minutes. The minutes of City Council from September 17th, September 18th, and September 24th. I will entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion that we accept those minutes.
Second it.
All those in favor say aye. Aye. All those against say nay. The motion passes 4-0. Moving on to presentations, item F2 is a presentation of photo contest awards. This is one of my favorite parts of council. We get to see the incredible talent and creativeness of our residents. I'm looking forward to seeing what we got here.
Good evening, everyone. Communications team is here tonight to honor the winners of the 2019 Find Your Florida Photo Contest. We received hundreds of really beautiful submissions, so we just wanted to say thanks. So first place is Reflections by Linda Robbins.
Oh.
Also got second place.
Nice.
For Sunday in Wizard.
Nice.
Very good.
Nice.
Oh,
thank you. Wow, tremendous.
Get back for you over there. And third place is Lori Vetter for Evening Printing.
Beautiful. Tremendous.
Our first honorable mention is also Lori Vetter.
Nice.
Where is this coincidence?
He's actually building the nest.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah.
Actually building the nest.
The timing is impeccable.
The timing, yeah.
Our next honorable mention.
Oh,
on the ball by Shannon Russell.
Oh, that's good. Excellent.
Is Shannon here tonight? Okay.
He's got a little league game.
No. Next one is by Craig Tennington.
He's not here, but we can take it for more.
Okay.
Also a good one.
Next Generations by Craig Tennington. He's got a gift bag right there for you. It's also for Craig. Thank you. And Butterfly Visitor by Ellen Wyatt. Is she here tonight? Okay. Morning Inspiration by Alana Cunningham.
Good job.
Very good.
Thank you, Alana. Next up is Summer and Fall by Rachel Atkins.
Excellent.
You also have the next one for Puppy Love.
Oh, that's awesome. Like the one in the background.
So that was our main contest. We also had a special events category. We like to change up our categories every year. This year we had special events for one of them. First place was Celebrate Independence Day by Corrine Chapman.
Wow. Wow. Great job.
Next up was Independence Day by Riley Carter.
That's okay.
Next up was Magical Rainbow at Town Center by Joan Twick. And our youth winner, I should really like this photo, Meet Me at 12 by Naria Tensley. Oh. I don't believe she's able to do that. In our Instagram sub-contest, first place was The Aliens Among Us by Mara Cruz McDermott. Thanks. Our next honorable mention was Gorgeous Day at Holland Park by Joyce Connolly.
Mm. Very nice. Good job, Joyce. Absolutely.
Our next honorable mention was Evening Stroll by Brenda Lawson.
Brenda,
good. Okay. Brenda also had a second one, Morning Walk. And then next up was. Go back to the Spinal Spinal. Oh. Ineas had one for a Spinal Spinal, but she told me that she could not attend tonight. And then our employee photo contest. First place was Beth Dawson.
Very good.
You might want to stay up here.
Because you also got second place.
Yes.
The model. It's
the whole team.
And you also got fourth place.
Nice. Oh, that's cute.
Look at the model.
You're good luck with that guy.
And then third place, back one is Tim.
Yeah, Tim.
And fifth place was Kay Spears, who could not be here tonight. So we just wanted to say thank you to everybody. These photos are invaluable. Nobody knows Palm Coast better than our residents. I'm really excited for next year for all the submissions that we'll get then. So thank you very much.
Yeah, congratulations, everyone. A round of applause. Thank you, everyone who participated in that. That was tremendous. Moving on to Section G, Ordinances, Second Read, we have an ordinance which is approving the Third Amendment to the Palm Coast Park Master Plan Development Agreement, amending the designated uses on the tracks 10B, 10C, 19, 7A, 7B, 16, allowing public uses on all tracks and housekeeping amendments. Mr. Reichman?
Yes, Mr. Vice Mayor. This is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, providing for the Third Amendment to the Development Agreement for the Palm Coast Park Master Plan Development, or MPD. This allows for residential low use on tracks 10B, 10C, and 19, allows residential medium use on tracks 7A, 7B, and 16, and allows public use on all tracks. Provides for legislative findings and intent for conflicts for severability, and provides for an effective date. Mr. Vice Mayor, Council, this is the second reading of a quasi-judicial matter, so if there have been any ex-party communications on this matter since the first reading, those should be disclosed at this time.
I have none. Council?
Thank you.
None. Excellent. Okay, Council, again, this is a second reading. Do we have any questions or concerns before I open it up for public comment?
Staff have a report?
Oh. This is a second reading again. And again, this was facilitated by Palm Coast Florida, Inc., better known as the Sawmill folks that are doing a subdivision up north. A good public-private partnership, working with the school board to provide a very adequate site for a future school. Site, and so the rezoning is just accommodating for that new location for a future school. And we have no further comments, and if you have any questions, we're here.
Thank you for the overview. Council, do we have any additional comments, concerns, questions for staff?
No.
No? Okay. Councilmember Cuff? Nope.
No.
We will open it up for public comment. If anyone would like to comment on item G3, you'll have 3 minutes once you approach the podium and state your name for the record.
I have a question. I think I read that it's...
Do you mind stating your name for the record, Celia?
Celia Puglisi, Palmcoast, since 1991. I have a question. I guess... I think I read that there will be 774 homes developed in that area. Is that correct? I'm confused with another development.
I believe the 774 has to do with the, if I remember correctly, probably the Grand Landings development.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am. It's okay.
How many homes?
This one overall, for all of Palm Coast Park, it's actually going to be closer to 4,900. Dwelling units. Yes, ma'am.
It was worse, yes, ma'am. Even worse than the other one. Anyway, so I figured out that all the infrastructure regarding traffic studies for more congestion and traffic, and where this traffic is going to come from Route 1 north into Palm Coast to go to the shopping centers, though they might have their own shopping centers, that we have Island Walk here that attracts, is a main attraction in Palm Coast Parkway. So I hope they don't use Florida Park Drive to come from Route 1. They come 1 and Palm Coast Parkway. This is very important that the city does traffic studies on this growth, because our charter always says, our charter says any growth should be planned on a way that does not negatively affect the current residents' quality of life. I know it's pretty far north of us in the Palm Coast Parkway area, but sooner or later people come into the hospital or whatever. Okay?
Excellent. Thank
you. Okay. I just want you to have the proper traffic studies and everything for this type of growth.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry, next speaker.
Good evening, George Mayo, Palm Coast. I've previously asked at previous meetings that when you have something like this, is it not possible to have a site map showing so that the people who are uninformed could say, oh, that's where this is. It was agreed to that you would do that, and why is it not up now? Thank you.
Absolutely. Next speaker. Okay, staff, do you mind throwing up that map real quick if you have it available? That'd be awesome, just so we're all on the same page. Mr. Mayo, I'm sorry, we probably should have done that. I jumped immediately past the staff giving their presentation, but this is a second reading, but I agree we should have that map up there. Celia, I will ask staff that the traffic studies and the impacts of this growth, that's later in the process where we actually evaluate those, and there's some state-level things that are also occurred later in the development process, correct?
Yeah, actually, with the DRI, a lot of that traffic study for what the entitlements are going to be was done at the very get-go of modeling to see what that traffic is going to be. Also, in addition, they are required to do a two-year report. They provide an updated report to the city of Palm Coast every year. And thirdly, every time a development comes in there, a proposed development could be commercial or residential, we do require traffic studies at the time of that. So we kind of get it, you know, nowadays you do a traffic study every time a site plan or a subdivision comes in.
Fair enough. I appreciate that information. Thank you. Council, do we have any more questions, concerns? Nope. At this point, I would entertain a motion for H4.
I'll make the motion to approve this ordinance.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those against say nay. The motion passes 4-0. Moving on to Section H, which is resolutions, we have one resolution, which is approving the second amendment to the interlocal agreement with Flagler County for the Old Kings Road Water and Wastewater Services. Thank you, Mr. Pappas and Mr. Tyner. Hey, Mr. Falgu.
Hey, good morning, Mayor and Council. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Based on your discussion at the last workshop regarding the interlocal agreement for water and wastewater services for the South Old Kings area, city staff went back and is working with county staff to revise the language in the joint planning area that was based on the conversations you all had at workshop. So at this time, this agenda item extends the previous agreement to December 31st. Currently, it's set to expire October 8th. And so what this amendment will do is simply just extend that previous agreement to give us more time to work on that language. So that's the item that you have before you.
Understood. Council, do we have any questions or any information we would like to ask Bo?
How long is it going to be before we hear from the...
We are actively working with the county. We just want to give ourselves enough time in case there's details to be worked out.
Excellent. I will open this item up for public participation. If anyone would like to address item H4, you will have 3 minutes to do so once you approach the podium and state your name for the record.
As a city of Palm Coast resident, I'm very concerned every time we get involved with the county. But anyway, I hope it's for both benefits, not for just one side only. I figure out that the city utility will help provide All Kings Road with the utilities for wastewater and potable water into All Kings Road. And I guess they're working out with the county into that. By county paying fees to the city of Palm Coast, or how is going to be that? Is going the county being paying fees to the city utility, which is all of us, we own it, right?
Sure.
Oh, okay, that's very good. Then it's fine. I hope that you follow every step so we don't happen to have with the county like we have the ad valorem taxes 2-to-1 with the city, okay?
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Thank you, Celia. Bill, real quick, I would just like to say that I've been extremely encouraged with the relationship I've seen between the county and the city, specifically with our last few workshops, how we've discussed taking over those small wastewater package plants, you know, down to the one corner of our city. I've seen a lot more just synergy between the city and the county, and that's really refreshing to see the deals and negotiations that are fair for both sides. Which historically hasn't always been the case. So I'm encouraged to see how well the city and the county are working together. And, Bo, if you don't mind, do you mind addressing Celia's concern about the county paying fees or just give a high-level?
Sure. So the agreement that is still, you know, currently being worked out, the actual language, provides that in exchange for the city providing those services in the area, we would be paid capacity fees in the form of actual cash or in the form of property transfers. And so that's the current deal that's being worked on. And so, yes, the whole goal is that the utility be held whole and that, of course, any areas outside the city would be charged the 125% premium on those rates.
Superb. Thank you very much for clarification. If council doesn't have any other questions, I would entertain a motion for H4.
A motion.
Yeah, second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against say nay. Motion passes 4-0. Thank you, Bo. Moving on to the consent agenda, if any member from the public would like to have a consent agenda item pulled from our consent agenda, you'll have, please approach the podium, state your name for the record, and which item you would like to see pulled from the consent agenda. Otherwise, they will be acted on as one. I see none. I would bring back to this council a consideration for a motion for the consent agenda items 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against say nay. Consent agenda passes 4-0. Moving on to public participation, item J of our agenda. This is the second portion of public participation. You'll have 3 minutes to address our council. Once you approach the podium, state your name for the record.
Good evening again, George Mayo, Palm Coast. The other night, I was coming home late at night with my wife. We were stopped at the intersection of 100 and Belterre, turning south onto Belterre Boulevard. And my wife all of a sudden hollered out, "Look out." And there was a car going west on 100, turning north on Belterre at the corner where Walgreens is. And it was so dark, there was a family of four in the crosswalk with the cross sign lit up. We're crossing the street, and the car did a California stop and almost hit this family of four. And I looked, I saw enough of it that it scared me. I thought there was going to be a tragedy right there. That intersection is extremely dark. There is no street light right in front of Walgreens, nor is there a street light on the opposite side where Starbucks is. So I'm asking the city to look into and at least put a traffic light. It was so dark. Yes, the car should have stopped and proceeded, but it was so dark, you really couldn't see the people in the crosswalk. There needs to be a light at that intersection for safety. That is such a busy intersection, I can't see why there isn't one. I figured I'd bring it up to you. If I have to call FPL and say, why is there not a light there, I will do that. The other thing is, at the project going on at Airport Road and 100 that is currently going on, that they're building whatever it is they're building there, dump trucks are going in and out, obviously, picking up debris and dropping off whatever they need to, sand, rock, etc. As the dump trucks leave, they bring out clumps of mud. It's all over the road. And the other day, one was pulling out, and as we went by, the mud was pretty thick, and there was a cloud of dust as cars went through it. I'm asking the city to look that, not only there, but other job sites like this, and require the contractor at the end of the day to have a street sweeper and clean that off, because otherwise it could spit up debris on cars as they go by it, you know, possibly spraying the windshields. And the other thing was, a while ago it was said that they're going to put a light at the intersection of Marketplace and Belterre, right over there by Publix, where there have been numerous accidents. I was told here by the council and the manager that it was a priority. I would like to know where that is right now, where we stand. Are we in the development? I don't see anything going on. I know you have development phase, design phases, etc., but it's still a dangerous intersection. I'm curious as to where that stands right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayo. Next speaker? No? All right. I will close public participation. I will answer Mr. Mayo's questions in order. And speaking in a bigger overarching problem, I think there's a big opportunity for crosswalk safety in general with some type of illumination that, you know, is of the automated sort. I just think crosswalks today have an opportunity to have their safety improved through technological options. I agree a streetlight is a necessity there, but I also think we could be trying to shape the future, and if we can save one life, then it's completely worth it. I'm not certain of the logistics of mandating street sweeping at the end of the day, and specifically on 100 because of how busy it gets. I do feel your pain, though. I work here in Town Center, and I do have to exit left off of Bulldog, and I understand the dilemma that we're faced there. I can get more information on that, but I can't say for sure how feasible a street sweeper would actually be there. And Mr. Well, do we have an answer for Marketplace and Belterre, the streetlight? I don't want to put Carl on the spot, but he's standing up. So
that project is moving forward. The contract was awarded for construction. We had a pre-construction meeting with the contractor and his subcontractor that's installing the signal itself, because we are adding some turn lanes and doing some other associated work. The long lead time is actually manufacturing the traffic signal. So we have gone through the submittal shop drawing review process to look at the engineer drawings. We had some comments that they're revising and correcting, but it's about a 12-week lead time to manufacture that signal. So their target date is February-ish time frame of when it will receive that signal for it to be going up. They'll start some work ahead of that with some other improvements, but they didn't want to leave for a few months and come back. So once they start, they'll continue and finish it.
Excellent. Thank you very much for shining the light on what's going on at Marketplace and Belterre as far as the streetlight. I think that answered all of Mr. Mayo's questions. I will close public participation and moving on to item K. It's discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. And today we'll go down the line. Councilmember Cuff.
Nothing for this meeting, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Councilmember Burkino.
Well, Whiteview Project. I had a meeting today with the city manager, assistant city manager, and the engineering manager. As that project is right now, I would vote no on that project. I was shown a few things that actually I did not know. But I'll leave a little more of that for the city managers to talk about, because there was a few other things. Even though that's a $4 million project, basically the city would have come up only with $400,000. 10% of that, that's the part of the city would pay. At the end, if that's going to save one life, it's worth the $400,000. But then again, the way it is at this point, I would vote no. But I'll leave the rest for the city manager to give you the enlightenment about this. Okay?
Anything else? Is that it?
No, that's it. I'm sorry.
Oh no, you're good. Apologize. Absolutely. No, just want to make sure we got it all. Okay, I appreciate that. Councilmember Howell?
You know, I too had a meeting with the city manager.
What a coincidence, huh?
What a coincidence. But we were not together in the room.
No, we're not.
You know, my issue is on Whiteview, and I will let the city manager tell you about that. Now, another thing that I'm looking for, and we can't do it this year, but we have 1 year remaining on the contract with our accounting firm. I have nothing against the accounting firm. However, see, I'm getting smart going to Harvard here, and this class that I'm taking in creating public value suggests we break the status quo, but I got thinking more and more about this, and I would like for us to seriously consider when the contract is up to switch to a different accounting firm. And the reason I say that is because it's time for having another set of eyes on the books. These guys have been here for X amount of time. They've done a good job, but it's always good to get another set of eyes. And so we have this year to think about it, but I'm going to be holding on to that because I just don't want, you know, the comfortable feeling, you know, like the old soft shoe here. The other thing is I've asked our attorney here to look at what other cities are doing, and I think that we all are aware of the crisis of vaping. We know it's bad, bad stuff. And I've asked our attorney to take a look at with the possibility of maybe we take the lead here in the county and create an ordinance. Now, you know, we know about First Amendment rights and all of this, but I think that it would be to the benefit of our citizens if we can get that stuff out of the stores here. The other thing is that I would like to see our golf course break a profit or at least break even. And maybe, you know, at one of our workshops and with the city manager and whoever, we look at the possibility of increasing some of the fees that we could do and yet still be beneath what the market charges on the whole. You know, a lot of times when you have a public gift like this, you know, we have the golf course, we've got some other things coming, as you well know, with the driving range, etc. It might well be worth the time to kind of manipulate the figures so that the golf course is self-sustaining. That's the goal. All of our amenities should be self-sustaining as much as possible. As much as possible. And that's something that we can look at. And then one of the things that I'm zeroing in on is getting together with the director of the Highway Patrol, FHP, and the DOT, because we have an issue where heavy trucks are getting off on the 295 South. They're going down Matanzas. They're hooking a left on Belterre to miss the way stations. You know, and they'll go down Belterre, then they'll get out to US 1 after they pass the US 1 way station, and they'll pass the other one on 95. And my concern is not only is it illegal, we know what they're up to, but they're tearing our roads up. And this has been brought to my attention by several citizens. And we've got the posted sign. Commander Williams knows it's right up there, you know, it's not a thoroughfare for these big and heavy trucks. And it's primarily the dump trucks that are doing it. But I think that, you know, I want the enforcement to hammer down on these guys. And that's it.
I think those are very reasonable concerns. Thank you very much for your continued effort in making sure that we strive to not only ensure public safety, but also try to address a fully loaded truck going down Belterre. I mean, it can be 80,000 pounds, so you're absolutely right that it can be detrimental. I was only going to note to make sure to remind everyone that the Pink Army 5K and walk will be coming up, so I encourage everybody who's out in the audience today but also listening to ensure that they get signed up and that they meet us out there. That's all I had. And moving on to item L, it's discussion by city attorney of matters not on the agenda.
Nothing, counsel.
Beautiful. And item M is discussion by city manager matters on the agenda.
Thank you, Vice Mayor, Council. Yes. Two brief things. I've heard a lot of comments and discussions regarding the Lakeview project. It is likely 3 years or more away to be funded. Right now it's still in design. It's not a final design concept. I think with a lot of the comments we've heard...
Matt, do you mind? Perfect.
I think with a lot of the comments we've heard, absolutely need to just pause, go back, look at the design, have some conversations around that and review. Use that opportunity now just to make sure we understand the project, that its initial intentions are still validated and warranted as far as what we thought we were getting. So, again, still in design, not final. Going to use the opportunity to take a pause on this and really have some robust discussions around it. So, look forward to that. And again, nothing is, if it was missed earlier since I didn't have the mic up, nothing is forthcoming. It's a minimum likely of 3 years yet till it would be funded. So we do have time to evaluate this. Secondly and lastly on a note, once again, I told our story a little bit last week about how we're using on a daily basis the Palm Coast Connect platform internally. And just another great story that came out that was brought to my attention this week, that a resident used Palm Coast Connect to let our urban forestry department know that a tree had fallen down. And the great thing was they created a case. And so we were able to email that person right away and say, we'll be out in the morning at 9 a.m. And I got an email back that said, thank you. The inspector was out at 9 a.m. on the dot. We were very pleasantly surprised. The issue was taken care of in very short order. Quote, I was thrilled to have an inspector here at 9 a.m., exactly when they said they would be marking the tree for removal. Only a few short hours later, a crew member came and took care of the tree. Everyone was polite, quick, and they even cleaned up after themselves. I can't believe this happened within 24 hours. It really makes me feel good that I have moved to Palm Coast. So it's working for us internally. Obviously, it's serving our residents well and continues to have great success stories. And again, from the management and just a ton of great data, not just the anecdotal stories like this, but management data on case closes and resource allocation. So if you haven't signed up for Palm Coast Connect, please do it.
And then the Pink Army 5K.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mr. Morton. I will entertain a motion of adjournment.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
So be.